got a three-day training session that is being put on by representatives from Fox Valley Technical College, the Department of Justice, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. We actually got instructors that came in from all over the country, and we've got law enforcement, all different types of disciplines receiving the training. We've got police, prosecutors, canine handlers, dispatchers, pretty much a whole gamut of, any type of response that would be needed in the event of a missing or abducted child. And what we're trying to do is better prepare to be ready if we were to ever receive any type of call like this.
Amber Alert Network Brazos Valley, what is that?
That is our local kind of oversight board for, we have a couple of different, I'm not sure what the right term would be. We have a couple of different endeavors, one of which is the namesake is Amber Alert. We have a regional Amber Alert notification program. It's a partnership with media and law enforcement to get reports out of the children as quickly as possible to enable the public to assist us in locating the child or the suspect or both. The other thing that we're involved in is back last year we formed a 7-county child abduction response team, and that's part of what this training is for, is to try and prepare the members as much as possible to be ready in case we get any type of incident like this.
And what's the geography of the network?
We cover the Brazos Valley region, the 7 counties of the Brazos Valley region.
What makes this region unique as it applies to this issue?
I don't know that we're unique. Given the size of communities and the size of the law enforcement agencies we have in our region, it'd be very critical for us to help one another, because these types of investigations are very time sensitive, they're very manpower intensive. So what we're trying to do is do as much pre-planning and training as we can, so that if we have, if we have a need, we pray that we don't, but if we ever do, that we're prepared to just immediately jump in and start working, as opposed to then trying to establish ground rules and, how do we do this, what's our protocol. So we're trying to get as much of that out of the way as we can in advance so that we can just immediately start helping one another.
Large agencies have a lot of resources at their disposal. Smaller agencies don't. So do you try to work in this type of a setting to try to help out the smaller agencies?
I work, with College Station, which is one of the larger agencies in the region, and we would still need help in a super manpower intensive child abduction case. So it's for all the agencies. And what we serve is the child abduction response team does not come in and assume control of the investigation. We're a resource. We're another tool in that agency's tool belt to try and conduct their investigation. That agency still maintains control and conducts the investigation, where there is a resource as a force multiplier to try and help them do their job. Same way that, even the larger agencies could avail themselves to that same resource.
But what can larger agencies do to help out the smaller rural counties, so to speak, especially initially?
Well, what we would be able to do is we're trying to get that core group of people that have all received, some advanced training in this area. I tell people that it's where we're at, it's kind of a double-edged sword. We do not have a lot of experience investigating these types of cases, and that's good because that means that we live in a fairly safe area for our children. So that's always a good thing. But it's also a bad thing because we don't have a lot of experience investigating these types of cases. And if that call does come, mom and dad aren't going to care if it's our first time. They're going to want it done right. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to get as much knowledge and much training brought to the people that will be out there to assist the investigations. What we could do for, large agency or small agency, you know, it's going to take a lot of people to go and knock on doors and interview people and, you know, try and look for leads and search areas and talk to, you know, multiple people. That just takes a lot of people, and it's child abduction investigations are very time critical. There was a study done several years ago of, you know, the worst case scenario, child abduction homicide. And what they were able to determine in the study in hundreds of these types of cases, that if a child is abducted and then subsequently murdered, 75% of the time the child is murdered within the first 3 hours. So there is not a lot of time time is not a resource that is in great abundance. And then you throw in the fact of, you know, we have some agencies that are smaller, or even some of our large agencies, they need as many people as they can get to go out there and try and do those jobs to cover as much territory and track down any of those leads that are coming in from the public, you know, if we've issued an Amber Alert or something of that nature.
And I'm sure it's also more than asking, have you seen this person? You have to know how to ask the right questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's one of the reasons that we bring people in, you know, these subject matter experts to come in and talk about this type of investigation, so that, you know, we try and learn and know, okay, what do we need to look for? What questions do we need to ask? How do we need to go about doing it? And that's what we're trying to learn. We're trying to teach as many of the people that would be involved in this investigation as possible.
And then take what you learn in this 3-day period and practice it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's our team, we train quarterly. We will have, you know, as we go through the future, we'll have, you know, exercises to, you know, to test our knowledge and see if we can, you know, make it work the way that it's supposed to. And if we find weaknesses or deficiencies, we address those through, you know, repetitive training or, you know, through changing of our procedures, you know, whatever we address, we want to continually adapt and try and make it as best we can. But all the agencies realize that we're going to be dependent upon one another, you know, and that just because it happens in, you know, the next town over, it could have just as easily occurred in our jurisdiction. So it behooves all of us, you know, in law enforcement, to you know, if somebody does something like this to a child, to identify and catch that person and hopefully safely recover the child as well, you know, irregardless of where it occurs.
The observation just popped into my head: for as much technology as there is in the world, when you're dealing with missing and abducted children, there's probably still nothing more effective than good old-fashioned footwork.
You just can't beat a whole lot of, you can't beat using up a whole lot of shoe leather. That's still one of the most effective pieces of law enforcement tactics that we have. You know, we certainly don't shy away from any of the technology, and the more information we can gather and get out to the public, that can only help us. But then we have to be prepared to deal with that incoming information and act upon it.
Anything else I've missed?
No, just again, this is truly a team effort from a whole lot of different people. I think we have very good working relationships with all of our law enforcement agencies in this area, and that you know, we realize the importance of what we're trying to address, and you know, that's the most important thing. You know, again, it doesn't matter where it occurs, because if something happens to our children, it affects all of us.